Ezrat Hashem, we begin the new book of Nachyomi, Sefer Shmuel Bet, chapter 1. As we mentioned, Shmuel Bet is not really a new book. It's the second half of the larger book of Shmuel that was subdivided into Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet. But there is a logical turning point, which is the death of Shaul, and now the rising up of David to the monarchy. 2 days after returning to Tziklag, having fought the Amalekim, who had plundered his camp, David is approached by an Amalekite youth who informs him that Israel has lost the war against the Pelishtim and that Shaul and Yonatan have been killed in battle. The lad's clothes are torn and he's placed dirt on his forehead, which both indicate that he's mourning the tragedy that he witnessed. The messenger claims that he chanced upon Shaul severely wounded and that Shaul asked him to kill him, in other words, to put him out of his misery, and that the Amalekite obliged and killed Shaul. The Amalekite brought the crown and bracelets of Shaul to present to David, whom he assumes is the new king. When David has interrogated the youth and determined that the report is credible and accurate, he tears his clothing and instructs his men to do likewise. They weep, fast, and mourn for the remainder of the day over the deaths of Shaul and Yonatan, as well as in response to the news of the tragic defeat of the Israelite forces on the battlefield. David admonishes then the Amalekite for having been so brazen as to kill the anointed one of God. He commands one of his men to execute the messenger based on his own admission of guilt. David then proceeds to offer a stirring and poetic lament for Shaul and Yonatan, in which he describes their military prowess, their courage, and the lifestyle of comfort and luxury and peace that they provided to the subjects of their realm, to the Jewish people. He curses the mountain upon which Shaul met his demise, and he decries the fact that the Pelishtim are now going to celebrate what is surely a tragedy in the eyes of Hashem. In the course of the elegy, David makes mention of the particularly close bond and the strong affection he shared with Yonatan. This chapter is very significant for a number of reasons. For all intents and purposes, the response of David is his first official act as the new king and will set the tone for his entire regime. Despite the personal animosity he may have felt towards Shaul and that may have existed between them, David once again demonstrates in his word and deed his abiding respect for the office of Shaul and his appreciation for the benefits that the king gave to his people during his lifetime. In the eyes of David, the fact that Hashem selected Shaul to govern the nation of Israel entitled him to tremendous honor and to a eulogy befitting a great monarch, even if he did fall short of the expectations of Hashem on many occasions. David's ability to push aside petty emotions and behave in a dignified and appropriate manner under these circumstances is consistent with what we've already learned about his character. David's immediate reaction of sorrow and despair upon hearing of the death of Shaul contradicts our natural expectation that he's going to be very thankful to Hashem, like when Naval died, he thanked God for taking care of Naval, or that he'll at least show some relief when he learns that his tormentor is no longer there to chase him. Instead, David evaluates the events not in terms of his own needs or his own plight, but in terms of the needs and concerns of the nation. The people of Israel have lost their king, and this is a tragedy of epic proportions. The possible improvement in David's circumstances as a result is really trivial relative to this catastrophic development. David provides us with a model for how a genuine leader of Israel should look at the world and respond to it. David's emotional response is inspiring, but he doesn't stop there. In taking upon himself to compose a lamentation for the deceased king, he is embracing his role as Shaul's successor. He is now the spokesperson of the Jewish people. It's his job to reflect upon and contextualize the events, to offer an official response to the calamity, all on behalf of the Jewish people. So David not only shows his admirable character in this chapter, he also governs. He leads the Jewish people in proper mourning for the loss of Shaul. The reaction of David to the messenger also gives us some insight into his personality and his convictions. The Amaleki is expecting to be rewarded for having killed David's arch nemesis, or so it would seem. Instead, he's executed for the crime that he claimed to have committed. David views murdering the anointed one of God as a horrific act that must be punished to the fullest extent of the law, notwithstanding whatever personal issues existed between David and Shaul. Although we know from the text in Shmuel Aleph that the Amaleki is actually lying. The Amaleki didn't kill Shaul. Shaul killed himself. And David may have suspected that the Amaleki had just robbed the corpse of Shaul and didn't really kill him. Nonetheless, David holds the youth responsible for what he said he did, and he kills him. Unlike Shaul, who was happy to reward and promote those who assisted him and took his side in the pursuit of David, regardless of their scruples or ethical standards, David refuses to support or encourage violence or vigilante behavior, even when it's carried out against his enemies. Murderers are not countenanced in the court of King David, regardless of any justifications they offer for their crimes.